number 25 of the 48 ways, and it reads, Bekabalat Hayisurim. Bekabalat means to accept. What do you got to accept? Hayisurim. Pain. If you want to live, you've got to be willing to pay the price, to take pain. Now, every one of us realizes that we're living in a tough world. All right, you got a little grace period if you're 18, 19, 20, 21. It's not always tough, but tough things come in your way, painful things, and if you're gonna get wiped out, you're not going to make it. Question is, how do we accept pain? Now, I like to use an example to get a picture of what we're doing and how we live with it and, you know, to focus your attention. So I wonder how many of you remember when you were a child and playing. And when you're home and you're playing and you bump into a table, so what do? A little infant, what do? You cry. Yeah? You cry, you cry, and you cry. All right, then you're going out to play with playmates. Yeah? And you fall and you scuff your knee. Yeah? And it's bleeding. It's painful, right? So you cry. And your playmates say, "Cry, baby." And what do? You stop crying. Then he comes home, and his mother says, "Oh, look what happened to your knee." Oh, he starts crying again. What's going on? What makes us take the pain and keep on playing? So the first of how we use it is that's what's called getting tough, which means grow up. The same example I gave you. Cry baby, you grow up. You get tough. What does that mean? You use your mind. It's a decision. Big deal. It's nothing. So it's nothing. And you keep on playing ball. Your mommy says, "Oi!" Then you start crying again because it's big deal. If you're focused on, "So what?" It's nothing. It's nothing. If you're focused on, "Oi, vey," then you're going to cry. So B of this is understand that growing up is an act of will. You have to decide what pain does a grown man cry for and only cry for that and for nothing else. That's growing up. As a child, the society made the decision for you. As a grown-up, society is still making the decision for you. But it's time for you to grow up, make that decision for yourself. What pain is really a big deal and what is nothing? All right, so number 2 is, there's another aspect of growing up, and that is, you want to play, you got to pay. This is what we used to say as kids, Lower East Side. Now, what does that mean? A spoiled brat is waiting for his friends to clean up the room, to rent the car, to make arrangements. Doesn't want to do nothing. Huh? Everything is coming to me because I was born. Growing up means you want to play, you've got to pay. Earn your way. The world owes you nothing. You want to accomplish something in this world? You want greatness? You're going to have to pay in pain. No other way of getting there. To say I don't want greatness because it's too painful, that's just being a quitter, a crybaby. You want greatness. We all do. All right, number 3 is, 20th century Western consciousness has instilled in you a myth, a boogeyman, that scares you out of the idea of accepting pain. And the myth is that, A, if you ask any American, and you ask him, what's the opposite of pain, and you'll hear every one of them will tell you the opposite of pain is pleasure. And where'd they get that? That's from the society, yeah? Now, that's false. B of this is, realize that the opposite of pain is comfort, no pain. Pain is the price you pay for pleasure. Now, see if this is, anybody here a history major? What happened to the Roman Empire? Why? Decadence? What happened? They ruled the world. They subdued the barbarians. And then what happened? They got into comfort. They became decadent. They didn't want to fight no more. They hired people to do the fighting. So what happened? The barbarians came. There was nobody to fight them. You know, the barbarians first were hired as mercenaries.
Then they say it. What, do I got to work for the boss? I'll set up my own business. We'll run the place. Huh? That's what happened to Rome. Well, you don't know. That's what happened to Greece, and that's what happened to Babylonia, and that's what happened to Assyria, and that's what's happened to America.
Just convince me that everything will be okay. We don't have to fight anymore. Nobody wants to kill us. Russians aren't out to get us. Arabs wouldn't harm a fly. When people want to avoid pain, this is the fog that they get into. All right, I just want to say, D of this is that realize that the United States has gone so decadent that the barbarians, if they only have patience, they won't even have to come. Why? Because the United States has got a minus population growth. They don't want to have any children anymore. Just give them time, they'll eliminate themselves. What does that have to do with decadence? I'll explain it to you. See, when I was a young man, I came from a large Jewish family. Jewish families were famous for large families. We used to have 10 children, 12 children, 15 children. Jewish families, you know? I came from a small, large family, 7 children. Yeah? But my friends had 10 brothers, 10 siblings, 15, 12, you know, Jewish family. So while I was growing up, these guys were growing up, I would ask them, how many children are you going to have? They said, 2 children. 2 children. 2 children from 10 to 2, you know. What's the matter? Why not? Don't you like children? Oh, sure, that's it. Children is the pleasure of life. Then why only 2 children? Well, I want to give my children every advantage. See, when I was growing up, it was a little tough to send all your kids to college. Today it's becoming tough again, but that time it was a little tough to send all your kids to college, even to send one of them. Yeah. Send them to camp? Who went to camp? Yeah. Buy them toys? I didn't buy toys for 12 kids, you know. You have 2 kids, you can get them a bicycle, send them to camp, send them through college. I want to give my kid every advantage. Makes sense, right? They wanted only 2 children. So at that time, I would say to them, you know what? I'll give you $100,000 for one of your brothers. You got 10 brothers and sisters. You choose any one of them. I'll give you $100,000. Nothing will happen to him. We're not talking about murdering him. You know, nothing will happen to him. They move to California. You'll never see him the rest of your life. Get that, John? Nothing happens. No harm. And you get $100,000. Don't try it today. Don't try it today. You'll get a lot of takers. Yeah? But when I was growing up, a large Jewish family, they looked at you, you're crazy. What are you talking about? My brother, I'm not going to see my brother. You're going to give me $100,000 the rest of my life. I'm not going to see my brother. You understand that? Ridiculous. I said, well, take a look. Your parents have given each one of their children 10 brothers and sisters. That's $1 million apiece. Right? You wouldn't take $100,000 for one of them. And I have 9 left. Yeah? That means the least of your brothers and sisters is worth to you $100,000. Right? That means that you've gotten from your parents something that's worth $1 million. Each one of you kids. Do you expect to give your children that kind of an advantage? Something equal to that. All right, the years go on. You ask a young man, how many children are you going to have? He says, 2 children. How come only 2 children? He's not talking about giving them advantages anymore. He's talking about ecology, right? Ecology. It's not right. The United States, you know, we're eating up world's resources. You can't grab for yourself more children. You got to be humanity-minded. So then I would say to them, you know what? You want to be fair. So why don't you just get rid of your furnace? Huh? Don't need heating. People didn't have heating all the time, right? Get a couple of blankets, right? Get rid of your television set and your car. Get a bicycle. And you can afford to have 50 kids. Because what an American spends in his car, I mean, what he takes out of the resources of the world, if you can raise food for 50 Indians, 100 of them, right? So you want to do your fair share, yeah? You don't want to take more than your fair share. All right, again, have kids, but cut down on what you're spending of the world's resources. Makes sense, no? All right, the years go by, you ask
young people, how many children you're going to have? And they say, I don't know. I haven't decided. I don't know whether I'll have any. I say, how come you're not going to have children? Don't you know that children is pleasure? But yeah, but I don't think it's fair to bring children into such a messed up world. Did you ever hear that one? Yeah. You know what you say to them? Say, you know what, friend? You don't like this world. I'll get you a gun. You can leave it. Nobody can keep you here. You think it's such an unpleasant place to be in. Why don't you just pack it? You mean you want to hold on to it, huh?
Children into this world, isn't that fair?
All right, but I think that we've really finally reached the scene. You ask enough people how many children you're going to have, enough young men, and you'll get quite a significant amount of answers that will tell you who's getting married. Ever hear that guy? I haven't decided I'm going to get married.
Say, what are you talking about? You know, wife, children. Hey, you can swim pretty good on your own. No responsibility. You go skiing, you go swimming. You can travel. Companionship, big problem. Children. Maybe some of my friends, I'll look at their children once in a while.
I can do without it. You get that? But is it a pleasure? Yeah, but it's not worth it. So, the conclusion, and I took a lot of time on this particular point, but it's an important point. The conclusion that I'd like to show you, you see, is that a wife and children are the greatest pleasure that most people ever have in this world. It's not the greatest pleasure available to human beings, but most people, if they have any realization of pleasure in this world, it's from having a wife and children. Notice what your parents are willing to do for you. How much pain they'll go through for you. Because you are the apple of their eye. You are their greatest possession. Understand that? Anybody who loves his children is nothing. There's no skiing expedition, there's nothing that compares to the fact that you have a child. Now,
the reverse is not that obvious, but in Judaism we say the greatest pain in this world is, you know what? Children. Tzar gidul banim. Bringing up children. Oh, boy. Variety of batty.
And if you don't believe the rabbis, you know, just think back during the years, you know, how much pain we've given our parents. You see, children are a pain in the neck, and they're the greatest pleasure available. You want that pleasure, you have to take the pain. Now, it's not so obvious. People have romantic notions, but marriage is a pain in the neck, too. Marriage is no dream, you know, that you don't just walk off in the future. A wife or a husband is a pain in the neck. It's well worth it. It's well worth it. But you've got to be able to take the pain if you're going to get the pleasure. That's clear. Okay, but the point of this all is demolish this myth. The opposite of pain is not pleasure. The opposite of pain is comfort. You want pleasure, big pleasure, you got to pay with pain. So number four is that understand that it's a very strange thing, that really pain is necessary for pleasure. If it's too easy, no pleasure. Now we mentioned a mountain climb. If it's an easy mountain to climb, maybe nobody ever climbed it, but nobody will say, I climbed it because it's there, because nobody ever did it. Too easy. You get a helicopter lift to the top of the mountain. Nonsense. Yeah. Too easy. No pleasure. Pain is necessary for pleasure. B of this is that the Torah, our instructions for living, tell us, l'fum tzara aglo, according to the pain, is the reward. Which means, if you undertook something that was very painful, and you accomplished it, your pleasure is much greater than if you undertook something that isn't painful and you accomplished it. The more pain you expended in a project, you built a building, you built a business from nothing, and you struggled, you're as proud of a peacock. Your pleasure is this little business. And if you know a man who's built the business, yeah, he'll show you his first little push cart and his first little store. And his this son is bought stiff with it. Doesn't know what's a big deal. I mean, he's ashamed of his father talking about the first store. Yeah. He doesn't understand. When's his father take pleasure? Look what we got now. Come on, I'll show you what we got. Yeah. And his father, boy, when we built that store, when we broke through. So see of this is that the rabbis intentionally, the Torah in general, makes it difficult for you to understand because you've got to use the pain of discovery, of clarifying, in order to appreciate what you hear. Easy come, easy go. A concept that just kinked through to you like on a silver platter. Eh. Something that you've worked out and you've accomplished and you get a clarity. You've puzzled it out. You've puzzled out what you really want out of life. You'll never forget for the rest of your life. Your theory, your document, even if it's wrong, I paid for this. The more I pay, the more I treasure. Right, that's very interesting. So now let's say number five, that my friends, we have pleasure in just being tough, in just mastering pain. Proof of this is you have such things as the polar bear club, you know, where people chop a hole in the ice and they go in. What are they doing that for? Because what? You know, they want to swim. There's a heated pool down the block, yeah? Or marathon running. There's no prize. And they're going, oh, and they're sweating, and they're going, yeah, what? I made it. I got to the finish line. So I was number 793. But I made it. Even the judges went home already. But I made it. He didn't give up. Yeah. It's tough. There's pleasure in just being tough, knowing you got what it takes. Number six is that appreciate. You either pay in winning or you pay in losing. It's a terrible pain to think of yourself as being a jellyfish, as being a weakling. You might as well pay for winning because there's no avoiding pain. It goes one way or the other. So for an illustration of this, for an example, if you don't ask for a job, so you've avoided the pain of a refusal, so what do you remain with? The pain of being a failure. Do you understand? If you don't take a final, let's say you avoid, it's too much, that's it. Yeah. The pain of being a quitter will haunt you the rest of your life. So there's really no avoidance. Now we think, see if this is, we think that we won't. So we quit college, we dropped out because we don't want to make the pain of doing it. And we say, well, I don't care. I don't care what people think, who needs it. There's some people who really don't care, but saying it doesn't make it. We kid ourselves, yeah? So we say, I don't need to be great, I don't, but the pain is there. If you're just avoiding pain, you're going to watch yourself the rest of your life and say to yourself, you're a loser, a quitter. All right, number seven is, that it will help tremendously in getting you to accept pain if you appreciate that fear of pain is much worse than pain. For example, I'm sure that all of you have caught the cartoon poking fun at the prize fighter with the cauliflower ears and a broken nose, you know, a big hulk, those broken bones, yeah? And he's standing there and they're giving him a needle, an inoculation, yeah? And he faints. Right? Sees the needle coming, he faints. So I'll tell you, and you will perceive that it's true, if you have a young kid, 10-year-old, a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, yeah, and you want to give him a needle, inoculation, so if you show him the needle, and you go zing, and show him the needle, yeah, and you're coming at his hand, you'll need a staff of 5 nurses, 3 doctors, and a lot of insurance. Because he'll fight like a little wildcat. Yeah. The proper way of doing it is give him something really interesting to look at. You know, a new gadget. He'll be immersed in this gadget. You come up behind him and stick him with the needle. Right? And pull it out. And by the time, look, what the heck is going on, yeah? You're gone.
I wonder what it's about.
We'll go back to play. You understand that? But looking at that needle coming at me, it's going to unman him. He's going to panic. Hysteric. So see if this is, see how it operates in your life. How many times you've been in an airplane, bored stiff, look at the guy next to you, or the girl next to you, yeah? You said, love to say hello, looks like an interesting fella, or like to talk to someone, but what will they say? Huh? They might get angry. They might do some weird things, torture me if I say hello. Do you see? It makes us a coward. Don't say hello. So, D of this is, like, you ever go to the ocean and the water's a little cold, right? There are guys over there that go a little bit more water, go, a little bit more water, yeah? Or are you one of the guys who jumps right in and stands there laughing and spilling water at them? So the next time you're on a plane, you want to say hello. Say hello! Hello! Then you can duck, you know. Get under the table. Yeah. Jump in. Right, number eight is, make a list of the things that you are afraid of and that you feel cheated because you're afraid of, that you'd really like to do, but you're afraid of doing. Top of the list is saying hello to a stranger, getting up a half an hour early. You like to do it once in a while, see the dawn come up, but you're afraid. What are you afraid of? Break me up, I'll be tired. Make a list of the things that you would like to do, but you're afraid of doing it. It's just too much. Yeah? B of this is, don't worry about it. Try. Take one of the lists and try. Walk over to a stranger and say hello. Go to your friend and say, hey, you get up 5 o'clock in the morning, wake me up. That's it. Get me out of bed. Go ahead. Once you've done it, you've done it. Then you're going to worry all night. What's going to happen when I wake up in the morning? It's going to be painful. He's going to insist. Nah. Let it ride. See what happens. Okay. Number nine is that the most important pain of them all, as far as our tradition is concerned, and it's obvious that it's true, the most important pain, except the pain of confronting reality, truth. Even if it shakes up your whole opinions, etc. Somebody tell you, peace talks, full of baloney. The Arabs, you can't trust the Arabs. If my opinion is peace talks is the only way to survive, yeah, don't feel like talking to someone. He's upsetting my equanimity. Yeah, but don't do that.
Always be ready to confront reality. And somebody says you're wasting your life. Somebody that you have a little bit of respect for, you think that he's your peer, your equality. Don't say, I don't want to hear that one. Yeah. Say, confront. Let's hear. What do you mean?
Let's hear. What could happen to you? You change your mind? Worse things have happened. All right, number 10 is that remember, always, whenever you feel that pain coming at you, and you have to take it, or you want to take it, a tool to fortify you and to enable you to take it is remember, pain is passing. Results are permanent. Pain is passing. It's going to end. Yeah. That drill is going to end. Your teeth fixed. Well, it's not permanent. It's good for a year, maybe. Yeah. You make an effort. You talk to a stranger. That pain is passing. That's the way you got to focus. 11 is that this is particularly true for wisdom. Which means what? That when you hear a piece of wisdom, happiness is to appreciate what you have. Misery is to appreciate what you don't have. You decide that it's true, valid. You need to be happy. It's got power for you. It'll give you energy. Yeah? Always remember to ask yourself, B, what pain am I avoiding by not doing what I know is sensible?
There's a pain that you're avoiding. Do you understand that? Otherwise, if you want to be happy, go and do it.
Its pain is robbing you of this. Locate. Which pain? Is it you're afraid of being happy? Because then you'll have to do something and you can't blame the world. Or is it that you don't want the pain of changing? Focus in. What is the pain you're afraid of? And see, jump in. Get it done. No.
Nonsense. Good. Work at it. The pain is passing. The results are permanent. Number 12 is that for living, do the same. Make a list of the things that you would like to do, but you're afraid of doing. Like to look for promotion? Like to change your major? Would you like to make friends? Would you like to join a debating team, a glee club? You know, there's a lot of things that we'd like to try, and we're afraid. Now, B of this is, find out what you're afraid of.
What can happen? You go to a glee club, they tell you your voice is horrible. An illusion gone? Or they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. Go to a different glee club.
Yeah?
Do you understand? What can happen?
And C is, if it isn't all that horrible, all they can do if you go for a job is they can insult you and tell you that you're the last guy we'd hire if there was nobody else in this planet. That's the worst they can do. I mean, you can't really consider it a possibility to take a knife and go at you. Yeah? Start carving you up. Go and ask for the promotion. So the guy says, promotion? A guy like you, you know, the school. Okay. So you'd be fired. So now what's the worst that can happen? You're fired? You get unemployment? I mean, you don't reason it through. Yeah? Look for another job. If you think you can make it. If you don't think you can get another job, you need the job, then don't ask for the promotion. Yeah? But you've got to be real about it. I mean, if the consequences are real, don't go into Central Park at night. Yeah. Okay, number 13 is that, look, whenever you're petrified, you can't even think, yeah, then, again, cut it down with reason. Reason is the way to tackle it. Like, let's say you're sitting there with a bunch of friends, a homecoming alma mater, you know, and they say, oh, Joe Blow, that's you. Well, get up and tell us a few words. Right? You see the panic? A few words? I didn't think. What? Right? You're petrified.
But if your mind is still working, ask yourself, what could happen? They'll be bored.
What's the worst that could happen? Tell me, quick.
Will they actually take out stones and throw?
No.
What's the worst that could happen? You get it? And then, step B, is what is likely to happen? What happens when one of my friends stands up to speak? What is likely to happen? They won't even listen. That's what's likely to happen. Okay, get up and say Kalamazoo and Papazoo and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-
Nobody's listening. Right? Usually. Yeah. The worst that can happen is they'll say, boy, this guy's boring. Yeah? They'll smile. Yeah? You won't even know that they think you're boring. Yeah? Reasoning it out. That's the way to get your act together, your powers together. Yeah? All right, number 14 is realize
the best way of accepting pain is forget about it. Now, show you how. We do it all the time. Just keep your eye on the pleasure, no pain. Keep your eye on the pain, no pleasure. So what do I mean by that? So to illustrate, can you imagine I give you a basketball, right? I put you on the court,
yeah,
and take away the basketball. Now, play with imaginary foes, right? Dribble, back and forth, run, back, jump, turn, twiddle. Imaginary game. Go ahead. Back, forth. I'll give you the instructions. You go. And I'm paying you $25 an hour. It's nice pay. Yeah? And he take it. This is what you call sadistic torture. Back and forth, run. Do you know what it means to be on the basketball court for an hour, back and forth, and run without a ball?
Murder.
So then what happens? They give you a ball, they give you a teammate, and you're getting out there, and it's real rough competition, right? And now you can hardly breathe. You knocked yourself out so thoroughly. After an hour's play, you sit there panting, right? What do you say? That was a great game. Great game. Maybe we'll rest a half an hour and we'll take another round. So, see if this is, you've got to appreciate. People can mess up the most delicious, pleasurable, beautiful scene in the world, most wonderful company, by keeping their eye on the pain. Then bring the salt. They forgot the napkins. They forgot the napkins can mess up a wonderful picnic. Never met a guy like that? Huh? If you go to the circus and you keep your eye on the fact that they overcharged you 50 cents on the ticket, or they shortchanged you a buck, yeah, you can pass up the whole circus, yeah? Just aggravating yourself. I let that bum laugh, that drama. But look at the aerial act. Look, bum, bum. Yeah. All right, so D of this is, my friend, you know who that guy at the circus is? The short-changed guy at the circle? You know who that is? That's you. You're in a beautiful universe. You're given eyes, powers. You're given every beautiful scene. You're in a circus. Huh? And you know what you have your eye on? I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know how to use all this energy I got. I don't know how to use my life. You're keeping your eye on the pain. I failed. I was shortchanged. I was dumb. You're not keeping your eye on the ball, on the pleasure available. Do you see that this is what's going on? You're doing yourself in. All right, so number 15 is that, again, for wisdom and living, make sure that you keep your eye on the ball, which means it's great to learn about life. Not that I'd like to be somewhere else. This is an effort I have to change my mind. This is, who knows where it's going to take me. Come on, is it interesting? Is it you? Is it discovery? Is it power? Keep your eye on the ball. Whenever you hear wisdom, keep your eye on the ball. I want to learn, I want to know, I want to understand. It's pleasure to understand. B is for living.
Whenever you're having trouble, don't you keep your eye on the pain? Your parents are fighting with you, or your wife is fighting with you. You say, oh, this is awful, I don't want to be in this scene, etc. No. That's it. You'll quit. Keep your eye on the pleasure, which is it's a pleasure having parents. It's a pleasure having a wife. Yeah. So I got a job over here. I want to solve this. That's the whole pleasure, to solve this problem. So let's figure it out. It's so much easier. I've got buoyancy. Keep your eye on the pleasure of trying. Keep your eye on your purpose, on your pleasure, on where you're going. That's the way to deal with life.
I just want to say one more thing, right? That's one more thing is don't escape the world suffering. You see, don't escape your parents' suffering or your friends' suffering. We run away. We see our parents are in trouble, they're suffering, they're hurting. We don't want to see it. We don't want to go into it. And parents don't want to see the pain of their children. And we don't want to see the pain of our friends. We escape other people's pain. Don't accept the pain. Keep your eye on the ball. You want to help people. You want the pleasure of being a real friend. You want to get your friend out of his pain. Yeah? Watch out for that. And watch out for avoiding the pain that is in humanity, the victims. We don't want to see that the poor guy who's mugged. Yeah? Because that's a problem. What are we going to do about muggings, about killings, about stabbings? Yeah? It's a problem. And we want to avoid the pain of seeing the problem. So we go after, well, we don't want the criminals to be to be punished, humane. Yeah? Not about keeping your eye on the pain. Feel the pain of those victims and feel the pain of the victims in the world. You've got to. But you got to learn to get the pleasure, to keep your eye on the pleasure. As far as an assignment is concerned, make a list of the things that you're afraid of, that you know is important. And I would say that the most important list that you should make is of wisdoms that you're afraid of applying. Too much pain. And B is track down what pain are you afraid of? What will happen? If you make a list of your desires and your pleasures, what pain are you afraid of? What will happen? Yeah? And C is choose one of those and jump right in.